When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Brandon Adams joins us on Tuesdays, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. Maybe a championship ring. I don't know, like a replica one. Follow him on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily as well. B.A., how are you?
What up, B.?
I'm doing great, and unfortunately, a replica ring is probably as close as I'm going to get to the real thing, but I'll take it. Listen, I'm still open for business if they want to give me a replica.
What would be, or maybe you've done it, but like, what would be the most, like, extravagant jewelry piece that you would wear or have worn?
I would wear a nice watch. And okay. I've even said this. Like, I think the tradition should be, you know, we give women rings when, you know, they get engaged. I think men should get watches. I don't know why men get a ring.
I agree.
You know, frankly, like, it'll be even more noticeable. Look at that watch. That guy's clearly married. Like, I feel like watches should be the sign that you're married, and women should buy men nice watches.
I agree, B.A.
Because we don't get the ring till the wedding. Yep, and they also get a wedding ring.
I agree so
That's
much.
That's a great point.
But now, we got to have a wedding watch, though. You know what I mean? Like a watch that symbolizes.
My wife actually did get me a watch for our wedding. So I have
a watch. Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't ever wear it.
I know. Yeah. But I wear my wedding ring.
Yeah, you don't wear it.
I know. I'm not a watch guy.
Yeah.
Remember I had an Apple Watch?
Yes,
you
had an Apple Watch, and it was dead the whole time.
It was dead the whole time.
Do you all know I've never worn my wedding ring? I've been married for what feels like 100 years. I've never worn my wedding ring, not since the first year we were married. I just couldn't stand it. I kept taking it off, kept playing with it. My wife didn't want me to lose it, so she just told me to stop wearing it, and she put it in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah, I tried that. I did.
Maybe slightly different reasons.
I totally had that conversation with her. I was like, she's like, well, what kind of wedding ring do you want? I said, I don't wear rings.
And I guess the fact that I don't wear one may be a signal that she's not all that worried about me being like all that much of a catch for other women.
That is what I was going to say. Like, that is a bold level of confidence to be like, it doesn't matter.
They'd be bringing him back like a pair of shoes that didn't fit.
I don't have to. We'll be just fine. All right, let's go back to Friday night and then work our way towards, I guess, tonight a little bit with the rankings and then the SEC championship game. But take me on the Brandon Adams roller coaster of emotion that game against Georgia Tech must have been for you.
Well, it was horrible in the first half. I mean, that's about as bad as Georgia has played, with all due respect, relative to the opponent. Just really, really terrible. And yet, you know, this team has been pretty good at, like, not quitting, right? They've been very bad at putting themselves in bad situations, but they've been pretty good for the most part about not quitting when they got there. You know, Friday night was sort of another example of that. I mean, I don't mind telling you, I was really happy that they won. I did not want, you know, streak to Tech to come to an end, lost before the SEC championship. Like, there was nothing redeemable if Georgia had lost that game. So I don't care if it took 8 overtimes. I don't care about any of it. Walking out of there with, you know, sort of a meager victory against Tech felt, you know, pretty enjoyable, because the alternative would have been horrendous. So I'm thankful that Georgia won, although it certainly was a troubling performance for the most part.
What about the whole overtime, B.A.? Because I don't know if you were doing the same thing I was doing, but I'm screaming, just run it one time. Just one time. I mean, because most play callers' play sheet probably has five, and that's it, two-point plays. And I'm just sitting there, can you just run the football? Where were you at in that process of just a whole wild part of the last six overtime periods?
So I'll tell you this. Obviously, Randy, I'm not a former player like you are, but, you know, having been in the media and having a couple of experiences to be on the field, my perspective about football has changed a little bit. And I'll tell you the game that was really, like, formative for me. I was lucky enough to be on the field, like, right there in front of the 2017 Rose Bowl, Georgia, Oklahoma, back when they didn't switch into the field every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing just sort of took place right there in that same spot. And I got to tell you, when you watch, and Randy knows this because he played, but for like someone like me, I think you just get a better perspective of this. When you watch a college football overtime and you see how small the space is on mm-hmm. the field with 22 guys, I mean, one of the things that I have learned is that when you don't have the threat of the big explosive pass play over your head, everybody on defense is just crowding more towards the line of scrimmage. And obviously, you know, you finally the Nate Frazier play worked, but I think they put Dwight Phillips in motion on that play, and that probably actually helped them, mm-hmm. you know, kind of create at least enough eye candy to get, you know, Frazier up the middle there. It's really interesting when you have the perspective of how small the field is in an overtime situation with that many players. Red zone kind of works the same way, too. That's why red zone's harder to score. When the explosive pass play is taken out of the playbook, everything gets more difficult because the defense is going to the football as opposed to worrying about it going over their head.
Who are you going to remember most from that game? Like, obviously, there's star players that made big plays, but there were some guys that maybe don't get talked about quite as much that made big plays in that game as well. Like, if you can, like, imagine 5-10 years from now, you think back, man, that was a crazy game, 8 overtimes. Who do you think is a player or two that's going to jump to mind?
I think it's Dan Jackson. I mean, obviously, he forced the fumble on Haynes King. He also had a sack in overtime that could have been, you know, kind of a game-ender type situation. And the thing about Jackson is, you know, Georgia has had kind of a high number, weirdly enough, of, like, walk-on type players who've been big contributors, given the fact that most of the players are elite recruits. Georgia's had a lot of walk-ons who've contributed, but there's nobody like Jackson because, as Kirby has told, they didn't recruit him. He was going to go to Georgia to be a student. It's going to be like a five, you know, like a Sigma Nu or something like that. And you just be a student on campus, but called the football team, said, hey, can I, you know, come try out, I reckon. And they gave him a chance to. And he, like, worked his way onto the Georgia roster after having been essentially a part of the student body. He was not a preferred walk-on. So of all the kind of crazy walk-on stories they've had, in some respects, Jackson may be about the craziest.
Yeah, and I just look at it from this perspective, B.A., how many damn five-star, big-time safeties have they had? And Dan just –
he keeps playing.
He keeps playing.
Yeah,
He just keeps on playing, man. What about our quarterback? I mean, obviously, you know, it was a big thing, the interceptions and all those different things, but now he just finds a way to get it done. Now he leads the SEC. Has most touchdowns in the league or whatever. How has his play helped this team as bad as we've gotten down lately, B.A.?
So think about this. I mean, if he has any of those interception issues against Tech, that game probably turns into a loss, right? So I think quietly, and this, you know, if you want to, you know, look at Saturday a little bit, one of the things about Georgia that's perhaps different now than it was then is I do think Beck is playing better because, weirdly, Georgia went into Texas, won convincingly, and Carson Beck had a bad game. And, you know, I think that Beck lately has been playing, you know, much better. Now, against Tech, they have depleted secondary, probably not very good to begin with. But it's only depleted secondary, so, you know, be that as it may, you make of that what you will. But pretty quietly, he is playing better, and I do think that if you're a Georgia fan searching for some reason for confidence somewhere, back to like the last 3 weeks, you know, at least, might be an example of that.
And maybe that was an answer to the question that I'm going to ask here. Maybe it's not. Playing Texas again, played them earlier, biggest win of the season or one of, certainly played awesome defensively in that game. Texas has gone on to not lose any game since then. Which of the two teams do you think is most different Saturday than they were when they played earlier in the year?
Well, I think it's probably going to be Texas because my assumption is they're about to play Arch Manning a lot because why would you not, right?
I mean,
you know, I don't think – now, listen, I'm saying this from a few hundred miles away. Texas fans may disagree. I don't think that Quinn Ewers is a special quarterback. I think he's fine. I think he played really well at Alabama last year. I thought he had a great game against Alabama. But I didn't think he played, and Andy, you'll have better memory of this. I didn't think he played great against Washington in the playoff, for instance. I don't think he's been great, you know, very much this year. Obviously, Georgia really got after him. You know, I don't know that Arch Manning is kind of ready yet to be everything that Arch Manning's supposed to be, but I believe he's probably the more dangerous option. As a Georgia fan, I would rather see Ewers than Manning, which is probably a little bit of a hint that maybe Manning's the guy they should play. So I think there's a chance that Texas is quite a bit different because – I mean, Steve Sarkisian's too smart to sort of stand there and let Georgia tee off on his quarterback the way that it played out in October. Of course, he's not going to do that again. And the easiest way to make sure, you know, that doesn't happen is by playing Manning more. And by the way, you know, Manning had a pretty significant touchdown against Texas A&M on Saturday.
Hey, B.A., we were talking about this because, obviously, you know, the transfer portal and Humphreys and everything and signing day is tomorrow. What do you think the NCAA should do as far as where they put the portal to where they put signing day for the high school kids?
Anything but this. Like, I mean, like, whatever they want to do, anything
this
but this.
Tough.
No, we got signing day tomorrow, SEC championship on Saturday, portal opens on Monday. I know college football is a dumb sport. It's never been this dumb.
Right.
Like, there's just no sense in all of this. And, I mean, you talk to a lot of these coaches, they'll tell you, they're not even sure exactly, like, what the payroll stuff is going to be like with the new revenue sharing, what their roster limits are even going to be. I mean, there's some complications about, you know, walk-on counting against your, rev share cap and things like that. I mean, honestly, that stuff's so boring. Your audience doesn't care. But, like, these coaches have no idea what the next 12 months are going to look like, and they've crammed all this stuff within the same seven-day period. This is just the dumbest thing that college football has ever done, and that is not an easy thing to say.
I do think that a lot of the procedural stuff that you're talking about, like the fine print boring stuff, they'll get figured out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Need to get figured out for the benefit of the sport and the coaches and all that kind of stuff. I think some of this other stuff they like. Like, I think they like some of the chaos that they've created because you're right, like, The silliness has probably never been higher in college football, but it's also popularity's never been higher. You know what I mean? Like ratings have never been higher. The money's never been better. So I think some of the, some of the goofiness is a little bit of a built-in feature from that standpoint, albeit so, making life very difficult for coaches and certain other folks involved with the game.
Yeah, I'll say two things about that. Thing number one is this, is that no matter how dumb the people that run this sport might be, the games themselves are just impervious to it. They are so entertaining.
Are
oh,
good.
My gosh, these games are so good. And everybody loves them. So the games are bulletproof. They're just amazing. And as far as the chaos goes, I agree with you. I think a lot of this is imposed chaos because I think they believe that it creates a little bit more parity in the sport. And the honest truth is it probably does. Mm-hmm. You know, the playing field seems a little bit more balanced. And I think a lot of people credit the chaos that's been imposed on the sport as a way of relinquishing the stranglehold that, like, Bama and maybe Georgia and some teams like that had on the sport. And so I kind of agree with Andy that when things seem needlessly complicated, it's not for a needless reason. There was an intentionality behind all of that. And I think that some of this chaos around college football probably was on purpose.
Well, just think about tonight. They don't have to do what they're going to do tonight and every Tuesday of the last month. They don't have to do that. They can wait till the season's over and then just pick the 12 and put them in the playoff. But they want to do it on TV because people will watch and then spend the next couple of days arguing about it because it's good for business. Yeah. That said, who do you think is the most mad tonight? Like, what fan base do you think ends up being the most angry tonight?
I would watch SMU because last week SMU was ahead of both Alabama and Indiana, which would mean if they lose the ACC championship game on Saturday, they're still in the playoff.
Right.
Somehow, some way, I don't quite expect that to be true. And is there some sort of with how SMU is treated related to a team like Alabama, for instance, the three-loss SEC team, that perhaps foreshadows what I believe will happen, which is that Alabama is going to be in the field at the expense of SMU or Miami or whoever you want to compare them to. I believe, and a lot of Georgia fans don't like this either, but I believe that Alabama is going to be in the field.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I don't.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't?
No. Tonight, I don't know. I got to wait to see. Would they put them over? Yeah, they would. It's Alabama.
I mean, they beat South Carolina.
They did beat South Carolina.
Right?
They did.
They beat LSU. Georgia.
They beat Georgia. They beat LSU down in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. And Georgia's beaten some good teams, so that win, you know, I don't know. They'll find a way to justify it. They love to find a way to justify it.
The argument for Alabama is going to end up being they're going to have the better wins of the teams they'll
That's
be compared
right.
to.
That's right.
And Ole Miss, which also beat Georgia, you know, they lost to three unranked teams, which may be a – you know, listen, somebody is going to be mad no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
But the argument against Ole Miss might be, yeah, look who you lost to, whereas in the case of Alabama, you know, maybe that's not quite as condemning. So I think that's what it's going to ultimately come down to.
I do, too. Brandon, thank you, as always.
Appreciate it, B.
Yeah, fun times.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Find him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Married man who does not wear a ring.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.